for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. Critically analyzing global affairs, this is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hola, amigos. A reminder, real quick, world-renowned cardiologist, public health campaigner, best-selling author, Doc Asim Malhotra of Joe Rogan fame. He's going to be touring Australia, sponsored by TNT Radio in, I guess if you're listening from Australia, that would be tomorrow, May 27th. The tour is going to cover several cities, raising public awareness about vaccine injuries, providing a risk-benefit evidence-based analysis of the COVID vaccines with special emphasis on cardiovascular complications and solutions. The tour is open to the public, so you should go. It'll give you an opportunity to engage with Malhotra and other experts in the field. You can get your tickets and info at amps.redunion.com.au. We've got some volcanic activity going on. Is it the end of the world? You know, one of those prophetic quotes about earthquakes here and there in Mexico here. Popocatépetl, the Popocatépetl volcano, has been blanketing towns with ash and disrupting flights at Mexico City's airport. Thousands of troops have been deployed. Millions have been warned of possible evacuation. So that's going on. But wait, there's more. Colombia-Panama border hit by 6.6 magnitude earthquake. 6.6. So yeah, not cool. Volcanic activity all over the place. The worst news, though, is Robusta coffee jumps to 15-year high on tightening global supply. I mean, if I could at least have my coffee as I watch the end of the world, I mean, come on, please, people. Robusta coffee climbed to the highest since 2008 as forecasts for lower output and key producers threaten to tighten global supplies. So I guess this will make coffee more expensive. I hope not. I guess I'll have to start growing my own coffee. I actually visited some dude's house here in Mexico, I think last year. He was growing his own coffee beans. Pretty cool. Just, toast it yourself. Good to go. I'm not going to let a day go by without, more de-dollarization news. Yet again, Iran, Pakistan this time discuss banking cooperation and de-dollarization during the 51st meeting of ACU member states. The central bank chiefs of Iran and Pakistan discussed linking payment systems and reducing dependency on dominant currencies. And, you know, on that note, a number of my clips on Twitter that I've posted have been going viral. One of them includes Xi Jinping saying Putin and I reached new agreements on the integration of Belt and Road with the Eurasian Union. And then you've got Putin coming out and saying that it's important to form a new decentralized global financial system. That's interesting as well. And get a load of these apples. So electric cars should be charged. This is in UK. Electric cars should be charged a pay-as-you-drive tax. Yesterday, we were talking about the UK, how they want a pay-per-mile tax in general for cars. And now, on top of that, electric car, I wonder if you have to pay both taxes. Electric cars should be charged a pay-as-you-drive tax as they damage roads more due to their extra weight. Wow. So you're going to be paying a mile-by-mile tax if you have a car. And then if you have a heavy car, you got to pay an additional pay-as-you-drive tax. Neo-techno-feudalism. This is absolutely crazy. It's, only the rich will be able to do anything and live as us middle class have been living all our lives. Everyone else, it's Elysium. We're going to live, in poverty with no hopes of, getting on the next rung of the case system, because there won't be any system. It's either you're an elite or you're not an elite. And that's why the MAID program is making it easier to kill yourself. I was gonna mention, there was a clip yesterday that some guy who's going to be, he's going to end up poor because of his situation. And he's decided he wants to kill himself just because he's going to be poor. I mean, I'll go sleep in the fields. I don't care. I'm not going to kill myself just because I'm poor. And the WHO, again, UK news, who could gain powers to impose lockdown on UK? Lockdown measures could be imposed on the UK by the World Homicide Organization during a future pandemic under sweeping new powers. Member states would be obliged to follow the WHO's instructions when responding to pandemics, including introducing vaccine passports again, border closures, quarantine measures. Ministers are alarmed by plans to increase the WHO's powers, enabling its governing body to require countries to hand over the recipe of vaccines and to counter misinformation. Conservative MPs have written to ministers to warn of an ambition evident for the WHO to transition from an advisory organization to a controlling international authority. And the Rockefeller Foundation today announced that the Rockefeller Foundation and WHO have announced a new partnership to strengthen the WHO hub for pandemic and epidemic intelligence. Rockefeller is going to give $5 million to cultivate global networks for pathogen detection, broadening surveillance, blah, blah, blah. Yakety schmackety. We know which way the winds are blowing. All right. A reminder that we don't go home at TNT Radio. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, if Cobra Commander Klaus Schwab pulls the plug on the internet, then we can. But apart from that, we've got you covered on TNT Radio.
News and talk you can count on.
I can rely on them.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Black Lives Matter, BLM, is back in the noticias. It looks like they've been seeing a lot more red lately than black. Financially speaking, that is, the once heralded group, seen as a beacon of social justice by many on the left, is now facing bankruptcy due to a massive financial deficit, according to tax returns obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. BLM experienced substantial financial losses and investment downturns in 2022. I guess they have served their purpose for Mr. Soros. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
I see what you did there. That was clever. Nice. All right, yeah, so good old BLM. Founded in 2013 following the acquittal of Trayvon Martin's killer, quickly became one of the most prominent entities in the United States pushing for social justice. Wonder who's pushing that frog in my throat. However, it seems that the organization's lofty ambitions have been overshadowed by a severe lack of financial prudence. Rot-row. And there's actually some new news today that, believe it or not, a bunch of black activists are trying to scramble and distance themselves from BLM following the fact that now it's been publicly made aware, thanks to Washington Free Beacon, that they are on the fast track to financial insolvency. So a coalition of 26 local BLM chapters, once closely aligned with the national group, slammed the charity in a statement on Tuesday, which laid the blame for the group's demise solely on co-founder Patrice Cullors. Cullors, a self-proclaimed trained Marxist, and if I'm not mistaken, I thought she was a practicing witch. Somebody might want to check me on that. She has come under fire following revelations last year that BLM used its charitable largesse to enrich her family and friends. And as you're about to learn, she just didn't stop. All right. So the coalition said in their statement, that this is Black Lives Matter Grassroots is the name of the coalition. Quote, "The plummeting of donations to Black Lives Matter is further evidence that donors want to fund the work, not high-priced consultants," end quote. And they added that it is now, quote, "engaged in a fight for the soul of Black Lives Matter," end quote. So what on earth is going on? What happened? What did the Washington Free Beacon find out here? Well, they got their hands on the tax records, and the financial disclosures showed some fun stuff. Let's see. Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation ran an $8.5 million deficit and saw the value of its investment accounts plummet by nearly $10 million in the most recent tax year. The group logged $961,000 loss on a securities sale of $172,000, suggesting that the charity weathered a staggering 85% loss on that transaction. These troubles didn't stop BLM from doling out seven-figure contracts to friends and family of its former executive director, the aforementioned Patrice Cullors, who once said charity financial disclosures were quote-unquote triggering and, quote, deeply unsafe, end quote. I guess it's no surprise that Cullors was so fearful of disclosing BLM's finances to the public. The revelations in BLM's latest Form 990 show that the group is on the fast track to financial insolvency and that the excesses of Cullors' tenure have not abated under her chosen successor, Shalomaya Bowers. The financial losses come after a year of missteps and setbacks for the embattled charity. BLM raised just $9.3 million in its 2022 fiscal year, down 88% from its haul the year prior. BLM was forced to shut off its online fundraising streams in February 2022 due to compliance and transparency issues in several liberal states. The group has blown through two-thirds of the $90 million it raised in the wake of George Floyd's death in the summer of 2020. BLM spent about $12 million of those funds on luxury homes in Los Angeles and Toronto. That profligacy did not abate in the 2022 fiscal year when the charity dropped more than $10.5 million on contractors, much of which went to companies linked to Cullors, friends, and family. So people are a little bit upset about this. Not the least of all, it would be this grassroots coalition that came out and says, "Hey, listen, you're messing up our image here. You're tarnishing us. What are you doing here? What do you think, Rory?"
I think in theory, you know, a Marxist wouldn't be buying up million or anything close to $1 million. Home, it wouldn't be very Marxist, you know, and I think it's just these are the useful idiots in any revolution. They're used and they are discarded. It's the same that happened a century ago in 1917 with the Bolshevik Revolution and the French Jacobin Revolution and in any revolution. And that actually made me think of I saw recently, I don't know from when it was, I'm assuming not too long ago, someone posted a speech of Putin, and he was actually saying that what's going on now in America, that we went, Soviet Union went through it. He's saying that America is undergoing a 1917 Bolshevik Revolution. Putin's actually saying this. I mean, this is pretty, you know, it's on my Twitter feed and Telegram feed. It's just a 7-minute clip translated. And I mean, he just lays it all out there that's what's going on in America, the president of Russia. I mean, quite astounding. And he's been there, done that. I mean, his country. And like we saw, you know, whoever is behind this globalist empire and backing this revolution, it's the same formula we see everywhere. They used Juan Guaido as a useful idiot to attempt to regime change Venezuela. We just saw him recently return with his tail between his legs to Florida. So his mission has completely failed. If, you know, he's disposable. Saddam Hussein was disposable. Gaddafi, all these guys are disposable. Gaddafi's not in that same camp, but same thing with BLM here now. No more money. You did your job. You laid the groundwork for this revolution in America. We're now on to our next phase. That's how I'm reading it, Ruckus.
Well, she's practicing a special version of Marxism, which looks a lot more like crony capitalism, yeah? As Paul Kaminar, an attorney for a watchdog group, commented, quote, "While Patrice Cullors was forced to resign due to charges of using BLM's funds for her personal use, it looks like she's still keeping it all in the family," end quote. Maybe she'll make a fine politician or a member of the elite class someday. She certainly knows how to work their game, doesn't she?
I don't know. I mean, I often bring up, ask myself this question, even out loud, these apparatchiks, like, how do they look at themselves in the mirror? How do they sleep at night? Total frauds, you know, once they're discovered to be frauds publicly among their, you know, BLM community. I mean, it's, everyone knows you're a fraud. I mean, how do you live with that? It's just, yeah, I couldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't live as a fraud. I don't know how these people live as frauds, Ruckus.
Oh, don't ask me. I'm as truthful as they come, man. I'm to a fault. I'm far too transparent sometimes. So yeah, it's actually one of my biggest pet peeves are liars, which is why I don't like the media so much, nor do I like most politicians.
I've got that same problem. And you know, stoicism helps. Ryan Holiday, the Stoic, Daily Stoic dude, one of his clips today was say as little as possible. So there's a tip for you, Ruckus. Hit up the Stoics, and it's a note to myself as well. Don't talk if it's not necessary. But for my job here, it is necessary. TNT Radio, we got a great first time guest coming up. Someone who I met recently in Los Angeles, CEO of USA Pay Network, Randy Smith. Very patriotic dude. Phone lines will be open if you want to call in. We'll be right back.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
I don't know much about Canadian history. Does Canada have like a real proud heritage? I'm thinking of food. Like, is there food that you can say to me, this is Canadian?
Yeah, like poutine. Yeah, you know, I did have to take an exam to become a citizen. But yeah, they have a very interesting history. It has been kind of overshadowed by the history of the United States. They do overlap in a lot of areas, but in a lot of areas they don't. I mean, they do have their individual stuff going on. And they're still, you know, of course, when the Queen was alive, we would say they were still sucking on the tit of the Queen. You know, they were still part of that whole thing, and now it's the king. So I'm not going to say what they're sucking on there. Sorry, I just had to say it. It just went through my mind, and I just had to say it. But anyhow, I don't know. I like Canada. Before the Trudeau thing and all that, I'm not a fan of Trudeau's, of course.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tess Laurie, and I'd like to invite you to this year's Better Way Conference. Join more than 50 international speakers and our host, Neil Oliver, as they unveil how we can take back our health, freedom, and sovereignty. Watch inspiring, empowering, uplifting, live conversations, and attend workshops with world-renowned health professionals, activists, and journalists. This year's speakers include James Corbett, Matthias Desmet, Laura Abeli, Dr. Pia Khoury, Dr. Jessica Rose, and Vera Sharav. We'll be discussing solutions to the World Health Organization monopoly power grab, fake food, the climate agenda, artificial intelligence and transhumanism, big pharma corruption, and much, much more. If you are questioning the events of the last 3 years and want to be part of real and positive change, come to the Better Way Conference in the first weekend of June. You can attend online or in person in the historic UK city of Bath. Join us, brothers and sisters. Be part of this growing international community with a vision for a better way. Join the warriors fighting to save humanity and our planet. Visit betterwayconference.org. for tickets and information. Your ticket purchase supports the groundbreaking work of the World Council for Health. See you there.
Proudly supported by TNT Radio.
Like Bob Marley said,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
From big tech censorship to calling out government tyranny, TNT Radio has the guts to say what you're thinking and gives you the platform to be heard. Call the open line anytime in the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. In the U.K., call 033-024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310.
Stand up for your right.
Free speech has a home on TNT Radio.
Joining us is Randy Smith, founder and CEO of USA Pay Network, among other things that he does. Welcome to TNT Radio, Randy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, Hervoye.
You know, so we met, it's a little over a month now, I think, in LA at the American Freedom Alliance Conference. Was it World War III? The early years, which I very much enjoyed. I think it was your first time there as well. And so we were chatting a lot about the stuff that I chat about daily. And I thought it was great. You know, what did you think? What was sort of your takeaway from that event?
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting event. I enjoyed the speakers, and the community was, you know, kind of our crowd, you know, fully awake and realizing the political geopolitical warfare going on, happening, and just psychological, economic, you know, geopolitical, just all fronts. It's it was a good room to be in, and I think you and I connected especially well, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I brought you on, and you're also very active in terms of trying to find solutions. And maybe before we talk about some of these issues, and we can get into USA Pay a little bit later as well when it comes to the CBDC stuff, but is there anything else you want to tell us about? You're like a hacker, I'm just kidding, like a coder, or you know, any websites or projects you want to tell us about, you know, or about yourself?
I've just been I'm a, like you said, solutions. I'm focused on solutions and using software solutions to kind of try to solve problems where I can and build things. So the USA Pay Network is building trying to build a new payment network that's going to be independent of the current pay rails and banking system, and it'd be have our own digital wallet, be an improvement upon better than crypto and Bitcoin, more secure, encrypted, private. That's just what I'm working on currently. And I'm passionate about that. We can get into that later. But yeah, I've had other projects. But I've been involved in trying to fight for freedom, do what I can, what God has gifted me in for a good dozen years or so.
All right. So you're a software dude. And I always say this, I learn from my guests, from their worldview, from the way that they think, the research that they've done. And, you know, my guests maybe have done further research on something that I haven't. And so I always can pick up extra pieces and learn. And so I thought, you know, maybe get your lay of the land as to what you're seeing as some of our biggest threats. I sort of break it down into key pieces, such as globalism, which is affecting all nations, America domestically, globally. A lot of things come with that. Of course, the military aspect, World War III, China, Russia, and all that. And you know, this digital technocracy. So among many other things, the economy, the culture wars. What are some of the things, what would you say if we look at globally now in this time that we're in, what are some of the things that we're facing?
Sure. It's an all out attack. I mean, I think we're all in the process of constantly just trying to keep up. There's so much going on so many fronts. Like you said, geopolitical, economic, and a lot of it's psychological manipulation. I mean, the control, the mass control of the media, for the most part, with few exceptions, like this great show. And Steve Bannon's War Room and others, they're just out there just spinning lies, moving towards their agenda. And every time we try to confront them, they just go, "I don't know what you're talking about." It's quite madness on some points, but they're getting more and more bold. Who would have thought that Anheuser-Busch would have gone along with, pushing a, trans agenda with their beer? I mean, don't you know your target market? I mean, it's unbelievable what the measures they're trying to go to now, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that I don't understand how they're willing and able to lose that money. I mean, they can't be that stupid. And I was mentioning, you know, I was in Chicago recently back in my other home, and I went into a Target, and it was the first time I ever saw an entire separate like display for all this trans LGBT stuff. And I'm like, wow, you know, when I was growing up, you know, there were some social red lines in society, so to speak. And again, whatever anyone does in the four walls of their room is not my business. You know, that's how we existed up until now in all of human history. But now it's just everything's out in the open. And when I'm looking for books for my kid, it's like I have to, in the U.S., I have to be very discerning to see what propaganda is in these children's books. And by the way, you mentioned Bannon. Too bad we didn't get to meet Steve Bannon, right? He was supposed to be there in person, but he in the end, he had to Skype in, yeah?
Yeah. I think he got a little bit of a cold, and then I think maybe he might have even been had another event to attend maybe with President Trump. I don't know, but Mar-a-Lago. So I think it's just amazing. It's sad. I mean, it's the traditional values that in America that we grew up with, and you know, they're just trying to erode them away, and really a good part of they're just doing wave after wave after wave. We saw the Black Lives Matter organization, be fully funded just to the nth degree in the summer of 2020, and then somehow all the corporations, you know, the sports leagues. I mean, I can understand why, and I'm all for absolutely for equal rights, for all races. It's just sad how they're using, trying to use race to divide us. It's like, come on, we were. I think in America, you know, America came a long way. I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and you know, and that was, you know, I mean, we're talking, you know, Michael Jackson was the, you know, top artist, and you know, just it was just completely just everything was everyone was just getting along great, and then they come out and try to do all this, and then it's like now you have this Target thing going on, and it's just like, come on, just like it just stops. Like I give the analogy, I stopped watching NFL and Major League Baseball, even though I love football, baseball, in 2020-21, because I'm like, I can't stand watching this junk that they're trying to push. I can't believe the leagues are pushing it. Now my question is, are the ladies going to start boycotting Target? I don't know. They love Target, don't they?
They certainly do. And Randy, we're going to have to jump to our headlines with James.
What time is it?
Now, TNT Radio News.
You know what time it is.
Yeah. Time to read some news.
This is James O'Neill with a check in today's headlines. The pressure is mounting for U.S. politicians to reach a deal that would allow the government to keep borrowing money to pay its obligations. The Arkansas man who put his feet on former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's desk during the January 6th riot on Capitol Hill has been sentenced to 4.5 years in prison. Germany's gross domestic product has fallen for two consecutive quarters, figures released on Thursday by the Federal Statistical Office to Statist have shown, meaning that the country has entered recession.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We're talking to Randy Smith, founder and CEO of USA Pay Network, which we'll get into. And just to add to the wokeism that we were talking about and racism, it's like, yeah, I grew up in the U.S. in Chicago. It's like a mini Babylon, basically. And, what comes to mind is the quote from MLK, where he says, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." And that means you're not going to be judged by the color of your skin whether you're black or white or brown or purple or yellow or whatever. And now there's this obsession, you know, as you mentioned, Black Lives Matter, white supremacy, all this crazy stuff. And we shouldn't even be, I felt like we were just getting beyond that. You know, when I was a much younger man in Chicago, I dated a black girl. I dated a Serbian girl. My parents were not very happy. And just, you didn't think about that stuff. And I felt like, all right, we're getting past it. And this obsession with color and race is nuts. And they're bringing us back to the Stone Age. And just on your thought, you know, Phil Jackson, the coach of the Chicago Bulls, you know, I used to live in the area where the Chicago Bulls trained in the north suburbs of Chicago. I'd meet some of them going to the Blockbuster, Bill Weddington, the center at the time. I went as a kid to Blockbuster. I saw him browsing movies, you know, stuff like that. And Phil Jackson recently said he stopped watching NBA. Like, he's not watching Phil Jackson, you know, six times champions coach of the Chicago Bulls. It's like, he's not watching it anymore.
Good for him. I mean, it's a sad day. I mean, come on. It's like, can't we all just get along and just and look beyond that? It's just dumb. It's just sad that, you know, that people, still buy into it. But I mean, that's just one point of a divide that, I mean, really they're, I think it's just a devious effort on many fronts, psychological fronts, just to, the whole misinformation thing. Oh, that's misinformation. You know, stop spreading the misinformation. It's like, excuse me, I'm calling out your lies, and you're saying, oh, stop. It's a conspiracy theory. You know, it's just this this game that is just like, you know, only folks that are really earnestly, passionately, diligently seeking after the truth of what is reality are actually able to see through this BS. And it's a sad day to see so many people just not digging deeper, and they just get, they believe the media, they believe the government. It's unbelievable.
Hopefully soon we see peak woke and get back to some sanity. And before we get then to the solution of USA Pay Network, maybe get your thought on the problem. I think last week it was, I had Aaron Day on, who's running for president in the U.S. And he's a, you know, entrepreneur, expert on crypto and all this stuff. And he's highlighted the CBDC thing as one of the biggest problems that we don't have a lot of time. What's your assessment of this whole cashless system that they're trying to put us in, the CBDCs? Because I mean, it's basically the social credit system.
It's a comprehensive system. I'd like to spend a little time on this, because I think I've for a long time I've been given a kind of earlier insight into what's happening, and then I've been watching the media catch up, the Steve Bannons and the conservative populist media catch up. But it's basically the next control mechanism. It's not good, because they control the banks, and they control the banking system, and they want to move it to a deeper level of control with the central CBDC, and they want to pair the social credit scoring. They already own the media. If they can, when they do an emergency powers, another quote unquote emergency, for whatever pandemic crisis they have next, or it could even be a geopolitical, we can't anticipate what it might be. They kind of telegraph it now. It looks like there's another big pandemic coming up, but I see what they're going to do is not good. I pray that we can have something up and running, because our current solution is crypto and Bitcoin, albeit they're good alt payment solutions, meaning they're good and good, not great. They're not secure. They're not, we post FTX, we see that. It's hard to use. You can't transact to point of sale. There's just a number of downsides. I see it's kind of like the first version of you know, of a technology in the late 90s. It's like, you know, getting on the internet, it was, you know, the whole AOL thing. It was like, well, I think that's kind of the, you know, blockchain 1.0, the Bitcoin and crypto. I think there's better that can be done. But if the CBDCs roll out before, well, I think what they're going to try to do is they could even just overlay it over the banking system with the next emergency. And they'll try to say and apply the ESG scoring, whatever social credit system they want to apply. And then if you get flagged for, you know, oh, you're breaking the emergency powers mandates and, you know, or hate speech or whatever, then we're going to flag your account. And if you do it bad enough and speak out against the government, well, then guess what? You can't buy gas or groceries. Or if you don't sign on to this new CBDC covered bank account, then you know, you can't pay any bills. I mean, think about that. Think if you had money and they just, I got money in the account and it's like, but they freeze your account. So you can't pay your mortgage. And they're like, well, that's not our problem. You know, just sign on, just sign the dot. Well, like it says that you're going to have total control over my money. Well, that's, you know, that's true, but you know, hey, we're just trying to give you money. So what's the deal?
Yeah. And, you know, the number of things you said there, I think it was Aaron Day. I can't remember last week. He said that the number of transactions, like in a second or whatever, handled by, you know, that goes on in the financial system that we're dealing with now. It's like, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands can go on in a second or a minute in, you know, the banking system that we have now in Bitcoin. It's a very, very low number of transactions that, you know, Bitcoin can handle. So, you know, just to your point, and yeah, the whole CBDC overlay. I was listening yesterday to Stansberry Research. I think Daniela Cambone interviewing I don't know if you saw that, G. Edward Griffin, who I had the pleasure of meeting a little over a decade ago in LA. He took me out to lunch because I was a volunteer for some of his stuff. And it was a very good interview he did yesterday. He's getting very old, but you know, George Gammon, I think, or someone brought up the question of, or Robert Wright, who was on my show a couple months back, that CBDCs wouldn't be legal as money. They're not constitutional. But Griffin says, well, think about, you know, the Fed is not even, it's private. So, they can just roll out the CBDCs through the Fed. I mean, someone said the FedNow thing that comes online in July are the rails for the CBDC. And that they can basically do whatever they want because they can whip out the CBDCs through the Fed, which is anyways private, and we're using that money. So,
you're right. That could be the segue, but I put the parallel to the analogy. You know, our medical rights were breached. Our freedom was breached in 2020, 21, right? You know, through emergency powers, so-called emergency powers. I mean, in California, communist governor here didn't even end the mandate officially till like 2 or 3 months ago. I mean, the emergency powers. It's just like, it's unbelievable. So, but they did all these things, like, you know, either you take the jab or you don't have a job at the federal government level. Either you wear a mask or you don't come to work, or, you know, and they push that down to the corporate level too. All these corporations just lay down and it's all under, oh no, well, it's emergency. It's emergency. We can do this. So it's, yeah, that's the kind of thing. So, you know, with, yeah, that we're facing.
Or yeah, just as you said, there'll be some emergency and they'll say, look, either download the CBDC app or don't eat. It's that simple. And, you know, when I was in LA, I had lunch with Michael Parker and William Ramsey, and we went out to a place where it said proudly, it was some restaurant in LA, said proudly, we are proudly cashless. So you couldn't pay in cash. I had no idea. I would. Luckily, there were three of us. So someone paid in credit, and I paid the my part or the part in cash. And it's just like that. And I went on an Illinois tollway when I was there recently, and just the first time I experienced this, you know, the last time I did this was maybe over a decade ago when I was living in Illinois, and I still remember I would throw in change or you'd pay with cash. It's gone. They don't even have that option. It's all digital. You pay online. I guess if you can always, they give you 2 weeks after the fact, I think, to go online and pay digitally. And so, yeah, and now we're having these Amazon One being rolled out where you pay with either your face or your palm. And then yeah. in the Eastern world, you've got the Amazon equivalent, you know, the Chinese Tencent doing the same. So they're rolling out everywhere now these cashless social credit style payments. And they did a survey, and Starbucks was also rolling it out. The old elderly generation don't like this. I think they know something, don't they?
Yeah, well, they grew up in a different time, different era, and especially the eldest generation, if they're still around, the greatest generation, they faced off and defeated fascist rulers in across the globe, in Japan and Germany and their allies, and we're living in some interesting times, and it's our life, and this is our challenge for us to engage, just so that the tyrants and the fascists don't take over. I've got a young daughter, and most everything my wife, that's why I'm doing everything I'm doing. But I did want to make a point here. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. There's a lot of people that are were already awake going in, and they became, we all became 10x more awake and realized what was happening from day one, some of us. But then a lot of people are like, wait, what they're saying to do what? I thought we had constitutional rights. I thought we had freedoms, granted by God. And then some people were like, they had to make that the crazy choice of like, oh, you take this jab or you don't have an income, you don't have a job. It's like, well, some of them did it. And it's like, even knowing like, oh, I don't like this, they probably went through this great stress, or some just walked away from the job and they lost a lot. But see, there's anybody who knew them, and people are just waking up more and more. So I believe there is a great awakening happening. I really see it. We got to really rally and rally this against the evil globalists and communists and fascists that are trying to take over the globe and bring down America. They're pretty united. I have a lot of hope, but we got to stand together and unite.
Yeah, something Griffin said in his interview, he said that the masses are useless. They're not going to do anything, pretty much, and that it's only the minorities that ever do anything. And we just need a critical mass of minority. We don't need these the masses who just are asleep. We got to jump to our break. On the other side, let's get into the USA Pay Network solution. We're talking to Randy Smith, founder of USA Pay Network. Feel free to call in as well. We'll be right back.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Last Friday, the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury opened another season, and they lost on the road to the Sparks at Crypto.com Stadium in L.A. It marked the first regular season game for Phoenix star Brittany Griner since being released from a Russian prison last December. And when it was over, the losing coach expressed her displeasure with the announced attendance of some 10,000, about half of capacity.
It was great, but, like, honestly, come on, L.A. Like, we didn't sell the arena for BG. Like, I expected more, to be honest, right? Like, it was great, it was loud, but how was it not a sellout? How was it not a sellout?
She's ripping Sparks fans for not coming to see the return of Griner. Well, 2 days later, Phoenix lost again, this time at home to Chicago. And guess what? Their own home arena didn't sell out either for Griner. About 14,000 showed up, which is about 80% of capacity. Look, this isn't about Griner. The problem is the WNBA. Nobody really cares. Last season, four of the 12 teams averaged about 4,000 fans per game, according to Statista. The league is a big snore fest. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Black Lives Matter use of confrontation and violence has attracted criticism from other civil rights groups. Barbara Reynolds, a veteran of the 1960 civil rights movement, writes that many civil rights activists agree with BLM's goals, but fundamentally disagree with their approach. According to Reynolds, BLM uses confrontational and divisive tactics rather than proven protest methods. The BLM movement protesters have harassed presidential candidates, and critics argue it has become a movement concerned with instilling fear in politicians, white people, and police. BLM has been blamed for worsening race relations in America. Federal Bureau of Investigation has found that homicides of police officers have risen since 2014, and some observers identify Black Lives Matter protests as a contributing case to an anti-police environment. The FBI reported that perpetrators of attacks on police in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Dallas, Texas, stated they were influenced by the Black Lives Matter movement. Adding to the concern that BLM encourages anti-police violence are statements by BLM endorsing historical extreme-left anti-police terrorists.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's our last segment with Randy Smith, founder and CEO of USA Pay Network. So we've been talking about globalism and the CBDC social credit system. And so, you know, tell us more about how this your solution is going to work, whether it can work in conjunction with others, how soon you might be rolling it out, and then so forth.
Yeah, sure. As far as like our solution goes, what the problem is, our payment systems that, you know, are 50 years old or so, you know, like Visa, MasterCard and such, and the electronic banking systems, they actually are working. They work, you know, even Venmo, Cash App. I mean, in theory, they work pretty well, and fraud prevention is there. It's just that what they're backing, their values are just, you know, completely disaligned with what most Americans value: freedom, liberty, our Constitution, and free market capitalism, under God, and that's the traditional American values. And so the one thing I did want to point out is that, you know, a CBDC and even a FedNow, electronic real-time payments network, they're not complete without point of sale. So the point of sale system, meaning that who owns the point of sale is Visa, MasterCard, Amex, Discover, right? So they own the actual payment connection to point of sale. So without them buying in and playing along, I see that they perfectly will. And they might even leverage the FedNow and the CBDC to gain more power, more speed with payments, just a more modern payment system. So, but anyway, besides that, they're not working for our good. They won't be working for our good. That's clear. They've made that clear. The USA Pay Network, I got started in payments, and I had a first vision for building a fifth payment network that would be centered around retail merchants with offers and gift cards and loyalty and have better security. This was in a virtual currency in the late 90s. So my first vision for that was way back when, and right about when I first got into about ready to to actually be ready to launch that company. Then dot bomb happened in 2000, 2001, and there was just no funding, fast forward to today, I did launch another mobile payments venture in 2010. It was an alt mobile payments without NFC, which is near field communication, which we tap your phone to pay or tap your card to pay, just contactless. And I saw that was coming out, but that hadn't come out. So I invented a solution that was able to transact at point of sale without actually integrating the point of sale. So that's kind of how my brain thinks, is let's do a workaround. Let's build something independent that we can that I can build and run an independent, retail centric, consumer centric solution that would cost less. So that carried that forward to today, and I realized that, you know, there was just a bridge, the gap of the divide between traditional American values and the woke. And the government and the corporate propaganda media, communist media, that's just there's just complete misalignment. So so what we're building is to build our own pay rails, and we'll have a direct connection with a bring your own device, to pay. It could be a tap to pay. We might have a little peripheral where you can just tap your phone or tap a card to pay. It could even just be tapped a phone to phone. But bottom line is we'll have a digital wallet where, we'll have our own currencies. Some might be asset backed. We'll have gift cards and or just prepaid currency that we, at first to get up and running, it may not be decentralized, but I'm going to be pretty picky in our blockchain. I want to make sure it's secure, can't be tracked. The communication is encrypted. I'm looking at alternative communication channels and networks that would be able to, that we could leverage for our off the internet, but still it's like an alt internet that is being now built through the parallel economy. So that's a basic description of what the USA Pay network is looking to build. We're also looking to when we first launch, as long as the banking system's up, we are looking to do a co-branded, Visa and Neobank and, kind of like a Venmo Cash App replacement to launch. So if you see our site, that's kind of what, the images will portray. But we give little glimpses of that. We're going to also build an independent payment rails, because at the end of the day, we need a way that if they're going to try to shut us down or rather control our bank accounts, like we talked about through CBDC, that we need to be able to pay freely and go about living life freely.
We're 4 minutes to midnight. And just real quick, have you foreseen, two things for me came to mind of obstacles you might have, which, sure. Last year I had on Jeremy Kaufman on the show, who was running for, I think was governor in New Hampshire. He's the head of the Library Odyssey. And, the SEC just, nailed them for the library, quote, whatever currency or credits or tokens that they were selling. And I bought them initially for my Odyssey channel, and you can't anymore. Whether they might try to cancel companies or businesses like yours through the whole ESG stuff. Do you think mm-hmm. you might have issues? The SEC might come and say, go after you for this USA Pay currency or system or whatever, or BlackRock and Vanguard coming at you with the ESG stuff. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're right. That's going to happen. Obviously until we're up and running, I don't know that they're going to try to do much. We're finishing raising funds here in the next couple months, and we've got a good start in that, and I'm building the team, and I'll get back to your question there, but but you also asked about the timeline. So we're only a three to 6 month build on because I've got everything all mapped out, ready to build, but in tech teams in place, US based programmers, to answer your question, there's gonna come a line in the sand when they're gonna try to push their tyranny and their unconstitutional. It's gonna be unconstitutional. It's gonna breach our rights. So at the end of the day, that's why we need to build our system out of reach within our own data servers and over our own communication networks. We have the ability to do that, so we can say, well, I can appreciate what you're saying, but I just happened to be at Rebel Capitalist Live with George Gammon, hanging out. I went to Miami, and I got to hang out with Robert Barnes, and so a constitutional attorney. So, I'm planning on having guys like that there to meet head on that call. But bottom line is, we plan on standing firm and saying, well, you know, I think you're breaching our constitutional rights. And, you know, if you don't like it, well, tough luck, because, you know, it's our country. You know, why are you trying to bring this corruption and tyranny upon us? You know,
that is very cool. You went to rebel capitalist. I think Mike Maloney of Gold Silver spoke, yep. And I think Peter Schiff was there. Very cool. That's the music. 45 seconds left. Where is there any website yet people can visit, or a personal account of yours, social, that we can follow or something like that?
Yeah. It's usapaynetwork.com. So usapaynetwork.com. I'm on Telegram. I have a handle there, that same handle. And I'm also, but I'm most active on LinkedIn. So just reach out to me if you're a patriot, loves freedom, loves America, free market capitalism, like George Gamble would say, reach out and connect with me.
Yeah, I noticed you're most active on LinkedIn, and I like the content you post there. All right, thank you so much, Randy. Maybe we'll bump into each other again at a conference somewhere in the U.S. And I hope USA Pay Network is successful. Thank you for coming on TNT.